On behalf of the family, thank you for being here this morning as we gather to celebrate Ed Pushman's life, a life that touched other lives. And so we are grateful for that gift of life that Ed enjoyed and shared. We also gather here to lift up the hope we have in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the first fruits for all who trust in him. We gather here not just going through a ritual trying to cope, but we are gathering here out of faith and with the assurance that death doesn't have the last word, but that God's love and grace through Christ gives us that last word of hope and assurance. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me will not remain in darkness." And with the psalmist, let us say together with trust, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." Let us open our hearts wide to the love of God. Please pray with me. Almighty and loving God, you are our refuge and strength, the very present help in our time of grief. Therefore, we will not grieve as those who have no hope. For as a father has compassion for his children, so you, O Lord, have compassion for those who trust you. And as a mother comforts her child, so you, O God, comfort us. Eternal God, we acknowledge the uncertainty of our life on earth. We are given a mere handful of days, and our span of life seems nothing in your sight. All flesh is as grass, and all its beauty is like a flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but your word, O Lord, will stand forever. And this is our hope, for you are our God. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us. Your love for us is from everlasting to everlasting. You alone can turn the shadow of death into the brightness of the morning light. Help us to turn to you with believing hearts. In the stillness of this hour, speak to us of eternal things, so that hearing the promises in Scripture, we may have hope and be lifted up above our distress into the love and peace of your presence. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And if you're able, I invite you to stand for our opening hymn, "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee." Come to the Old Testament readings. Christians down through the centuries have found hope and strength and peace in these words in the Scriptures. We know that we can only know as much about a person as that person is willing to reveal to us. And if that's true, we can see each other. How much more true is that of God, who we can't see? But the conviction is God has revealed his love for humankind in his written word and in Jesus Christ, his living word, so we might indeed know of God's love that knows no limit, a love that invites us into a relationship to walk with him each day. The first psalm is Psalm 100, and it's focused on giving grateful praise to God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And I would invite you to join me as we read the beloved 23rd Psalm, which is printed in your bulletin, as we read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I would like to invite Diane to come forward now for a time of sharing.
Hi, everyone. Well, Harry said, my name is Diane, and I am Ed's daughter. I just wanted to thank you all for coming. That's okay. My husband and I came to Florida in late September so that I could have this last chance to spend time with my dad and to care for him before his passing. While we've been here, we've heard many wonderful things about my dad. But my favorite one was I was his favorite. I learned many things from my dad, but the biggest was his work ethic. He was a hard worker. He went to work every day to provide for his family. He always did the best he could. Dad never expressed his feelings with words. He expressed them through his actions. I'd like to share a few of those memories I have. I remember him buying me my own first fishing pole and taking my brothers and I fishing. Of course, he had to put the worm on it. And my husband still has to do that for me. And he took us roller skating. That was his favorite thing to do. He grew up roller skating. Him and his sister would go every day to the roller rink that was by their house. He loved that place. He also took me ice skating. I could never get the hang of it, still can't. But he tried to teach me anyway. I know he was proud of me and my family. Sorry. When I first told him I was pregnant with my oldest daughter, he hugged me and said, I'm too young to be a grandfather. But he was there for me. And he was there the night I gave birth to her. And he even got up early the next morning to go to work. And he went and told everybody about her. They all said, what's her name? And he had called me during the day to ask me what her name was, because that's what he forgot to find out. And then when I got home, he was there that first night. And he went out and bought one of those brand new Polaroid cameras at the time and took pictures of her, so he could share with everybody at work. He was proud of her. And then when our second daughter came, he was there with mom the next evening. And he was so excited to see her. And the first thing he bought her was a stuffed monkey because he called her his little monkey. Sorry, Jess. When she was in college and she made the dean's list, he was so proud of her. Unfortunately, mom was sick in the hospital at the time, so when he got to the hospital, he called her. And he had me tell mom over the phone that she had made the dean's list. He was proud of her. And he always referred to her as his nurse when he got sick. And even though she's just a surgical tech, he was very proud of her. And one of the last things he said after his stroke was, "What does Jess think?" He respected her opinion. He wanted to know what she thought. He was also proud of Kate and Addison, my sister's children. He was so excited as they waited for them to arrive. My dad wasn't always a patient man, as he was given a lovely nickname, a loving nickname, by Addison as Grumpy Grandpa. But they loved him, and he loved them. And he was also so proud of his great-grandchildren. He was excited for Landon to be in cross country. He wanted him to make it to the Olympics someday. And he was proud of Avery. And Aria, when she was born, he said, "Oh, I love her name." And Elena, unfortunately, baby, she didn't get to meet him, but he knew of you, and he saw all your pictures, and he loved you. I will miss our talks, Dad, and our texts, but I'm grateful to spend these last few months with him. Thanks to my husband for being by my side through all of this. Rest in peace, Dad. I will love you forever. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane, for sharing. We have two New Testament readings. The first one, many of you may have heard at weddings. It's the love chapter in 1 Corinthians, but it's always appropriate to lift up love, especially the love God calls us to share with one another. Starting in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And then dropping down to the last verse in that chapter, verse 13. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And the second reading is from John's Gospel. It's a text that is often read in occasions like this. This is Jesus speaking. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. And then a little later, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. As we gather here for this memorial service, we've heard scripture read. We've lifted up a hymn of faith. We've heard about relationships shared. And at times like this, there's a sense of, is this all there is? We live, we die, and that's the end of our existence. But the Christian faith says we won't buy in to that lie. a lie that death seeks to whisper, if not scream, into our very souls. It is a lie that God does not truly care. It is a lie that we are really all alone. It is a lie that we will be forgotten and remembered no more. It is a lie that ultimately Ed's life, your life, my life, has no ultimate or significant meaning. We won't buy in to those lies, but rather we will embrace the good news of Jesus Christ, the assurance that God is with us, God is for us, and that he has given us dignity, meaning, and purpose in who we are and how he's gifted us, each in our own abilities, each in our own opportunity to share life with others. And as we think about what makes life most meaningful, I think we would all agree that life is about sharing love. And in our culture today, the word love is bandied about in various ways. Oftentimes, love is seen as more of an emphasis on emotions and sentimentality, the ooey-gooey feelings that we might have. And love certainly involves the emotions. But from God's perspective, love involves much more than emotions. Like you said, Diane, love is not just simply about words. Love is seen in actions. Talk is cheap. Words are easy to come by, but when we see someone's actions match up with their words, then we know that we really are loved. Not that we do that perfectly. We are flawed and finite, limited human beings, but yet we have the capacity to live love in very meaningful ways with those whom God brings into our lives. Let me read one other passage to you from 1 John chapter 4. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. And we see God has demonstrated his love for us in his actions. When Jesus Christ, as we think about Christmas, celebrating the birth of the babe in Bethlehem, love taking on human flesh, the mystery of the incarnation, and Christ lived this life the way we could not do, perfectly, loving God, loving human beings, and then going to the cross, lay down his life for us so we might know of God's love for us and to invite us into that kind of love, a love that makes all the difference. Can you imagine a love that doesn't have to be manufactured, a love that doesn't have to be forced, but a love that flows freely and unconditionally? That's the kind of love we all long to experience, the love we long to share with those that are in our lives. That's the kind of love that God gives to us. God's love is tangible in the person of Jesus Christ. God's love is not theoretical. God's love is not abstract. God's love is not locked up in an ivory tower. But it was demonstrated supremely as Jesus went through this world, healing the sick, being with the poor, speaking promise and hope to those in need, and then again laying his life down for us on the cross. And as we think back to that passage in John, where Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you," and the old King James, I think, talks about, "There's where I'm going, there will be many mansions." And people will focus on what kind of luxurious accommodations am I going to enjoy for all of eternity. For those of us in Florida, we might think, what kind of wonderful, great beachfront property am I going to get to enjoy without any threat of hurricane for all eternity? But the focus Jesus is giving is not about the lodging or the housing or whatever it might be. The emphasis is on sharing life. Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you." Why? Because where I am, there I want you to be. Jesus is saying, "I want to share love with you. I want to share life with you." And some people have the misunderstanding that the Christian faith is simply about going to heaven when we die. And thanks be to God and faith in Christ, that is true. But the Christian faith calls us to walk with God now. Eternity is happening now, and we're invited to experience all that God has for us in that relationship each day as we leave this sanctuary to be open to the new possibilities God brings to us. So God's love is tangible, God's love is relational, as Jesus shows us, and God's love is to be shared. Dear friends, since God loved us, we also ought to love one another. In this world, we are blessed to see beauty and joy and to experience laughter, but we also have to be real. That's one of the reasons why I became a Christian, is because it doesn't ask me to stick my head in the sand. It doesn't ask me to wear rose-colored glasses or to have a Pollyannish attitude. We can look at life as it is, raw and real, the pain, the heartbreak, the anger, the war, the division, the poverty, and all the rest, and we can have courage to face that and seek to make a difference because God is with us. God has promised to strengthen us, and so we can work through the reality of broken and shattered dreams and seek to bring healness and wholeness for others. Let me just close with these reflections from Bob Davenport. He was an interim associate pastor here. And this is for the family and for all of us as we wonder the different feelings and emotions we're going to experience and are experiencing at the passing of Ed. And Bob, in a message he gave at a service here at Northwood, I pulled out just a few of his quotes talking about grief. Bob described grief this way: grief is the tax that love imposes on a loss. Like other taxes, grief may be deferred, postponed, and like other taxes, grief will come due with penalties. Bob went on to say, if your eyes don't cry, some other organ will. The grief we don't do will do us. Regarding the personal nature of grief, he offered these helpful insights: that our grief is an experience. Grief is intensely personal. No one's size, shape, color, or design fits all. No one can tell us how or for how long to express our grief. Grief is a strange mix of feelings, some of which seem mutually exclusive. Loss and relief, sadness and rage, loudness and silence. Its expression ranges from prayer-like reverence to near blasphemous curses. Bob closed his reflections on grief with these two sentences. In your grief, travel carefully and seek understanding company. Grieve with abandon, grieve with love, and so honor, in this case, Ed's memory as nothing else can do. So in our grief, as we seek to live lives of faith, hope, and love, I believe God encourages us to look to the cross. Again, as we're honest and as we're real, we know there's times in life where the circumstances are so overwhelming, so heartbreaking, we just can't connect the dots. God understands that. He knows our frailties, and he meets us where we are, but he also, is, in a sense, invites us by saying, I know you can't possibly understand what's going on in your life right now, what's happening to you right now, but because the love I've revealed to you through Jesus Christ as he went to the cross, because of that love that has been made real and been made tangible, can you trust me? Can you trust me for those things you can't possibly understand right now? By God's good grace, as we live our lives in the good times and the hard times, may we take to heart the words of Jesus that we heard earlier. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. He lived as one of us, knew our joy, our pain, and sorrow, and died our death. By his death on the cross, you revealed your love for us has no limit. By raising him from the dead, you conquered the last enemy and gave new life to the world. In his victory, you comfort us with the hope of eternal life and assure us that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord. Almighty and loving God, we know that life is a gift. We rejoice and give thanks for the gift of life you gave to your dearly beloved child, Edward H. Pushman. We give you thanks for the loving and generous ways that Ed shared that gift with others. We are deeply grateful for the many abilities and blessings you bestowed upon Ed. We celebrate the love he shared, the lives he touched, and the many blessings which came to those who knew him well and loved him much. We thank you for Ed's example of living life with faith, with hope, and with love. Ed fought the good fight. He finished the race. He kept the faith. Dear Lord, we thank you that Ed may rest from his labors and enter into the light of your eternal rest. Receive, O Lord, your servant, for he returns to you. May Ed hear your words of welcome. Come, you blessed of my Father, and receive the unfading crown of glory. May the angels surround him and the saints welcome him in peace. Heavenly Father, knowing that you take us seriously and that you love us with an everlasting love, may you meet each person where they are in their lives. And by your grace, may we draw strength, courage, and peace, trusting that all of your promises have been answered yes in your Son, Jesus. And we offer this prayer in his name, for Jesus is the one who knows us the best and loves us the most. And now hear us, Lord, as we offer the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we come to our closing hymn, if you're able, I invite you to stand as we sing together Amazing Grace. Art Holly will offer some words to the congregation about prayers, or you want me to go first? Okay, go ahead. We've only done this how many times? Okay. There's a reception following the service over to my right in the Christian Education Building. When you go out into the hallway, you'll see people there helping you find your way. As we leave this house of prayer, and this is indeed God's house of prayer, where we're invited to experience God's presence in meaningful ways. As we go out into God's world, to be open to the possibilities God invites us into, may we do so in the love of God, a love that will not let us go. May we be open and receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, a grace that picks us up and dusts us off and puts us back on the path of life day after day. And may we open our hearts to the Holy Spirit, who makes a home in our hearts now and for all the days that are yet to come. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Folks, this